إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Then to continue with Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah, the creed compiled by Abu Ja'far Al-Tahawi rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan hafidhullah. Then last week we had just the first half of point number 58, وَالرُّؤْيَةُ حَقٌّ لِأَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. And a ru'ya is true for the people of paradise. Then who can remember what in the books of Aqidah the term a ru'ya refers to, when it's mentioned that we have iman in a ru'ya, meaning what?
Seeing
what? Obviously, ru'ya meaning seeing, in the language meaning seeing. And when the term is used in the books of Aqidah and affirmed as a part of our belief, then meaning seeing Allah, the mighty and majestic. That Allah, the Most High, is seen by whom? Who is it that we affirm sees Allah, the Most High?
That the believers will see
Allah. No. Meaning the believers. The mu'minun, that the believers will see Allah, will see their Lord. And where will this occur? Where do we hold as our belief that this will occur? No. In Jannah. That the believers will see Allah in Jannah. And the evidence for this belief? Who can remember at least some of the evidence that was quoted for this belief? Obviously every belief that we have, it needs evidence from the book, from the sunnah. Then who can remember evidence that we had for this? No. What was the ziyadah? No. Sah. Any more evidence? Is from Surah Al-Qamar, yeah? Not Surah Al-Qamar. Surah Al-Qiyamah, rather. Surah Al-Qiyamah. We also had a point that Shaykh Al-Fawzan mentioned, another that occurs in the ayah that the brother just mentioned, from Surah Al-Qiyamah. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. Some faces on that day will be radiant, looking upon their Lord. Shaykh Al-Fawzan made a point in the explanation with regard to the word nadhar, looking. What was the point that he made that is used in different ways in the Quran? Who can remember the different ways in which the term nadhar is used in the Quran? Or at least one of the ways. Give me one of the ways. That was the second of the cases mentioned. The term nadhar is used on its own without any particle, then it means waiting. Another usage?
If it comes with ilah,
yeah,
then it means seeing with the eyes.
If it's used with ilah, towards, then it means seeing with the eyes, as in this ayah, in Surah Al-Qiyamah. And the third usage that Sheikh mentioned? Nadhar is mentioned with fi, meaning looking into, meaning reflecting upon something. And the ayahs were, of course, ayahs, the Shaykh mentioned ayahs as proof for each of these usages. We also had, as a proof that the believers will see their Lord, the ayah from Surah Al-Mutaffifin that we heard recited in the Ashar prayer here, who can remember the ayah, Kalla innahum an rabbihim yawma idhin lamahjubun. The ayah from Surah Al-Mutaffifin, the 83rd surah, ayah 15, with the explanation, but no, on that day the unbelievers will be screened away from seeing their Lord. How do the people of the Sunnah use this as a proof for seeing Allah? How is this used? Proof? How is this ayah used a proof by the people of the Sunnah for the seeing Allah? In what way? No. As we had, the ayah is mentioned in the context of punishment. That from the punishment of the unbelievers, and indeed the greatest punishment the unbelievers will receive, is that they will be blocked away from seeing Allah. So that is from their punishment. So no doubt, the believers will not receive that punishment. They will not be blocked from seeing Allah. So indeed the ayah is a proof that believers will see Allah. As the brother mentioned in the Sharh for Ibn Abi al-Izz, he quoted Imam al-Shafi'i as saying that point, that just as the unbelievers will be blocked from seeing Allah and being angry with them, then the believers will certainly see Allah with him being pleased with them. Who can remember a proof from the Sunnah? We had that the ahadith about this matter are mutawatir. They're reported by a huge number of people at every level of the trains of transmission. Who can remember at least one hadith affirming the believers seeing Allah on the day of resurrection? Inshallah. The brother mentioned the hadith that you will not see your Lord until you die. And the other authentic hadith, Sahih Muslim, that the believers will not see you will not see your Lord until you die. You can remember another evidence from the Sunnah. Hadith of Abdullah, the hadith of Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with his companions and they saw the full moon. So he mentioned, you will certainly see your Lord just as you see this moon. You will not be put to trouble in seeing him. Then to continue with this point, point number 58, وَالرُّؤْيَةُ حَقٌّ لِأَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ بِغَيْرِ إِحَاطَةٍ وَلَا كَيْفِيَّةٍ. And the seeing means seeing Allah by the people of paradise is true without their encompassing him and without us knowing how it will be. So we reach the point that Shaykh al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he mentioned the ayahs from the Qur'an and the different usages of nadhar. And he mentioned that the ahadith affirming the believer seeing Allah on the day of resurrection are mutawatir. And he mentioned the one hadith. And then he came to a point where he mentions refutation of those who deny this belief. So he said, no one denies ar-ru'ya, no one denies seeing Allah, except the people of innovation, such as the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila, those who negate the ru'ya, those who negate seeing Allah, that Allah will be seen by the believers. They say, affirming seeing Allah, this would necessitate that Allah is in a direction, in a jiha. That's what they say. They say, if you affirm that the believers will see Allah, that means you're affirming that Allah is therefore in a direction. And it is their view that Allah is not in a direction. And in their view, He is not within the creation, nor is He outside it. Nor is He above, nor is He below, nor is He to the right, nor is He to the left. He is not in any direction. Sheikh has quoted here, this being the belief, this is the belief of the Mu'tazila. And they actually quote it with these words in their books. They actually say, we believe about Allah that He is not within the creation, He is not outside the creation. He is not above, He is not below. He is not to the right, He is not to the left. So then Sheikh al-Fawzan said, and the meaning of this is that He does not exist. That's what it means. If the true meaning of that would be, Allah does not exist. High and exalted is Allah above that which they say. So they deny seeing Allah because of this futile opinion. I mean, that's what leads them to say this. Why do they deny that the believers will see Allah? Because they say, if we affirm it, it means He's in a direction. I mean, they use their intellect, they use their faulty intellect and say, if we affirm seeing the believers will see Allah, that means He must be in a direction. Whereas we believe that He is not in a direction, He's not above, He's not below, He's not inside the creation, He's not outside, He's not to the left, He's not to the right. That's what they say. As the Sheikh said, high and exalted is Allah above that which they say. So they negate that which is affirmed, seeing Allah, they negate it just because of this futile saying of theirs. Then the Sheikh said, As for the Asha'irah, then when they were not able to deny the proofs from the book and the sunnah, then they affirmed the seeing. They affirmed seeing Allah. But they said, He will be seen, but not in any direction. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, and this is an amazing contradiction. Because there is nothing that is seen which is not in a direction. And therefore, the Mu'tazila refuted them for this. Because it is something impossible. So the Sheikh has mentioned here two groups of deviation. First of all, the Mu'tazila, who don't find a problem with just denying texts. They use as their basis their faulty intellect, and whatever goes against it, even from a text, then they'll refuse the text. And then the second group, the Ash'aris, they're not so bold in openly denying the texts of the book of the Sunnah. So they say, we believe that Allah will be seen, but not in a direction. So as the Sheikh said, this is contradiction. And therefore the Mu'tazila turned back to them and refuted them and said, what you're saying then is something impossible. Then the Sheikh said, whereas the Ahlul Sunnah, the people of the Sunnah, they say, He the perfect and most high will be seen, and He is in the direction of al-ulu, of being elevated, min fawqihim, and above them. Allah will be seen, He the Most High, in the direction of being elevated, being above them. So then he goes on to discuss this term, al-jiha, direction. The Sheikh said, because the term al-jiha, direction, if what is meant by it is a direction within the creation, then in that sense, Allah is not in any such direction. Because Allah is not incarnate within His creation. He, the perfect and most high. That's the first, this term that people newly brought up, direction, jiha. They used it when the people of the Sunnah affirmed that Allah will be seen. They said that means you're affirming Allah is in a direction. So the Sheikh is responding to that, as the people of the Sunnah responded. He said, what you mean by direction is a direction within the creation, then we deny that for Allah. We deny that He's in a direction within the, meaning within the creation. He is not within the creation. Then he said, bringing the second possible meaning, and if what is meant by it is that He is exalted and above all of the creation, then this is something confirmed for Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. So Allah is indeed exalted and high above the heavens. So the term al-jiha, direction, is neither affirmed nor denied directly in text. Neither in the book of, not in the book of Allah. In the book of Allah, the term direction for Allah is not affirmed and not denied. However, it can be spoken of with the previous details. I mean, what he's just mentioned here. When these people say, the people of the Sunnah say, we affirm that Allah will be seen. They say, are you affirming then that Allah is in a direction? Then they bring the question up. Then the answer is, if what you mean by direction is that Allah is within His creation, I mean a direction within the creation, then that is denied for Allah. He's not within His creation. But if you mean by that, secondly, that Allah is above the heavens, then we certainly affirm that. And just a point here, something that we had, those of us who were here, when we did Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah's abridgment of Al-Hamawiyyah, Talqis Al-Hamawiyyah, of Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned a point right near the beginning, which was that the people of the Sunnah, in affirming Allah's attributes, that they affirm for Allah whatever Allah, is an important principle, that whatever we affirm for Allah, whatever attribute He affirmed for Himself, or we deny for Allah whatever He denied for, negated for Himself. Well, the first principle being, we affirm whatever He or His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, affirmed. Secondly, the second principle, that we deny or negate whatever He negated for Himself or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam negated for Him. Then the third point, which is what applies here, he said, thirdly, where there is something that is not denied in text, nor is it affirmed in text, from those things which the people disagree about, such as the term a body, al-jism, and al-hiz, being in a place, and al-jiha, what applies here, and being in a direction, and the like of that, then their way, meaning the way of the people of the Sunnah, is at tawakkuf, to withhold, to stop and withhold, with regard to its wording. So they don't affirm its wording, and they don't deny it, since that is not reported. Meaning these new terms that people brought up, then we don't affirm the wording because it's not affirmed in text. We don't deny the wording because it's not denied in text. Then he said, and as for its meaning, then we ask for the detail of what is meant by it. And if we find that what is meant by it is something futile and false, something which Allah is declared free of, then we reject it. And if what is meant by it is something true, something which is not prohibited for Allah, then we accept it. This is their way, and this is the obligatory way. And then Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, later on in the book, page 45, he actually goes into the matter of al-jiha. He mentioned that later people, they brought this term up, al-jiha, direction, and he deals with it in this way. If what they mean by that is a direction within the creation, then we deny that for Allah. Allah is not within His creation. We know from authentic texts, He is not within His creation. If what they mean by that is Allah is above the heavens, then we affirm that. So back to what Shaykh Al-Fawzan brings, then he said, he moves on to the second half of the point, بِغَيْرِ إِحَاطَةٍ وَلَا كَيْفِيَّةٍ, that we affirm that Allah will be seen by the believers in paradise without their encompassing Him and without saying how. Shaykh Fawzan said, they cannot encompass Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. They will see Him, He the Perfect, but not encompass Him. I mean, not grasp Him and surround and encompass Him with their seeing. And Allah is Azeem. Allah is tremendous. It is not possible that He can be encompassed. And he gives evidence for this. He said, He, the Perfect, said, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. Surah Taha, the 20th Surah, Ayah 110. And they do not encompass Him in knowledge. They do not encompass Him, mean Allah, in knowledge. They cannot encompass Him in knowledge. And he quotes a second Ayah. He said, He, the Majestic and Most High, said, لَا تُدْرِكُهُ الْأَبْصَارِ. Surah Al-An'am, the 6th Surah, Ayah 103. Meaning, sight cannot grasp Him. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning, sight cannot encompass Him. It doesn't mean that He cannot be seen. Let's point this Ayah here from Surah Al-An'am. لَا تُدْرِكُهُ الْأَبْصَارِ. That sight cannot grasp Him. Shaykh said, meaning, cannot encompass Him. It doesn't mean He will not be seen. Then he said, because Allah the Perfect and Most High did not say, لا تراه الأبصار. He didn't say, sight will not see Him. He didn't say that in the ayah. Rather he said, لا تدركه الأبصار. Sight will not grasp Him. Shaykh Fawzan said, so reaching and grasping is something, and a ru'ya, seeing, is something else. So sight will see Him, He the Perfect, but not encompass Him. So this contains a refutation of those who seek to use this ayah as a proof to deny a ru'ya, to deny that Allah will be seen. Those who say that seeing Allah is not possible, saying, because Allah said, لَا تُدْرِكُهُ الْأَبْصَارِ. Sight does not encompass Him. Means some of the people of innovation, they say, we deny that Allah will be seen, and they say it's not possible that Allah can be seen, and they say, this is our evidence, this ayah. لَا تُدْرِكُهُ الْأَبْصَارِ. Sight does not encompass Him. Shaykh Fawzan said, so we say to them, you do not know the meaning of لا تدركه الأبصار وهو يدرك الأبصار, the completion of the ayah. That sight does not encompass Him, rather He encompasses all sight. The Shaykh said, so the ayah لا تدركه الأبصار وهو يدرك الأبصار, that sight does not encompass Him, rather He encompasses sight, all sight, its meaning is He will not be encompassed by that. It doesn't mean He won't be seen. And He, the Perfect, did not say, لَا تَرَاهُ الْأَبْصَارِ, that sight will not see Him. I mean, people won't see Him. He didn't say that. Then he said, and they also use as evidence, I mean those who deny the ru'ya, deny that Allah will be seen, they also try and use as evidence, saying that Musa alayhi salam said, Rabbi arini anzur ilayk, qala lan tarani. Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th Surah, Ayah 143. That Musa alayhi salam said, O my Lord, show me yourself, let me look upon you. So he said, you will not see me. So they use this as another proof to say Allah cannot be seen. The Shaykh said, they say this is a proof negating ar-ru'ya, seeing Allah. So we say to them, this refers to this world, because Musa asked for that in this world, and no one will see Allah in this world. neither any prophet nor anyone else. But as for in the hereafter, then the believers will certainly see their Lord. And the conditions in this world are not the same as the conditions of the hereafter. So the people in this world are weak in their bodies and weak in their senses. They are not able to see Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. But as for in the hereafter, then Allah will give them the ability by which they will be able to see their Lord, the Majestic and Most High. He will give this as an honor for them. The Shaykh said, and so therefore, Musa asked his Lord in this ayah, قَالَ لَن تَرَانِي. Or rather, when Musa asked his Lord in the ayah, he said, قَالَ لَن تَرَانِي وَلَكِنْ انْظُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَلِ فَإِنِ اسْتَقَرَّ مَكَانَهُ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ جَعَلَهُ دَكَّى. Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th surah, ayah 143. He said, when Musa asked his Lord in this ayah, he said, you will not see me. However, look at the mountain, and if it remains in its place, then you shall see me. So when his Lord manifested himself to the mountain, he caused it to shatter to dust. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, when Allah manifested himself, manifested something from his light to the mountain, it shattered. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, the mountain shattered and turned to dust. And the mountain is inanimate and solid. So how about the created being who is composed of flesh and blood and bones? He is not able to see Allah in the world. When Allah manifested himself, when Allah manifested something from himself to the mountain, it shattered. And it's a solid mountain, inanimate solid mountain, it shattered. So how about a human made of flesh and bones and blood? Such a person is not able to see Allah in this world. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and this question that Musa asked to see Allah, the fact that he asked the question is a proof that it is possible to see him. It's permissible to see him and possible to see him. Because Musa would not ask his Lord for anything which is not permissible. So rather he asked him for something which is permissible. But it will not occur in this world. So therefore Allah the Perfect said, لَن تَرَانِي, you will not see me. And he did not say, إِنِّي لَا أُرَى, he didn't reply, I cannot be seen. He said, لَن تَرَانِي, you will not see me, meaning in this world you will not see me. So then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, فَاللَّهُ يُرَى فِي الْآخِرَةِ, so Allah will indeed be seen in the hereafter. And then in a footnote they mention an evidence for this, another evidence for the fact that Allah will be seen in the hereafter. And it's the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu an, who said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, جَنَّتَانِ مِنْ فِضَّةِ آنِيَتُهُمَا وَمَا فِيهِمَا وَجَنَّتَانِ مِنْ ذَهَبْ آنِيَتُهُمَا وَمَا فِيهِمَا وَمَا بَيْنَ الْقَوْمِ وَبَيْنَ أَنْ يَنْظُرُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا رِدَاءُ الْكِبْرِ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ فِي جَنَّةِ عَدْنٍ. From Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu an, who said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there will be two gardens containing silver, their utensils and whatever they contain, and two gardens of gold, their utensils and whatever they contain, and nothing will be between the people in the eternal garden, and they're looking upon their Lord, except the cloak of rightful pride upon his face. Reported by Al-Bukhari in the Book of Tafsir, Hadith 4878 and 4880, and reported by Muslim in the Book of Iman. Then back to what Shaykh Al-Fawzan said in the main explanation, he said, so Allah will indeed be seen in the hereafter, and those who have the most right to this seeing are the prophets. The prophets. Then he moves on to the last phrase, وَلَا كَيْفِيَّةٌ, and we do not say how this will be. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, meaning, it is not to be said, how will they see Allah? كَيْفَ يَرَوْنَ Allah? How will they see Allah? This is not to be said. Because this is just like the rest of the attributes of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. We do not know how they are. So we have iman in them. We believe in them. And we know their meaning. And we affirm them. However, the kayfiyya, the how they are, is unknown. We do not know it. So Allah knows better about that. He, the perfect. Then the next point that At-Tahawi brings continues, كَمَا نَطَقَ بِهِ كِتَابُ رَبِّنَا وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَى رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. Just as is stated by the book of our Lord. And he quotes the two ayahs from Surah Al-Qiyamah. 75th Surah, ayahs 22 to 23, with the explanation, on that day, some faces will be radiant, shining, looking at their Lord. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, this clearly states that it is looking upon Allah with sight. Since the term for looking is used with illa, is used with the particle towards. So its meaning is looking with sight. Then he said, whereas the Mu'tazila, they say ila rabbiha, ila, they say here it's a plural, this particle towards, they say here it's a plural, and it means blessings. So they say, these deniers, the Mu'tazila, they say it means they will be looking at the blessings of their Lord. And this is foolish delusion, which people of intellect would laugh at, since a particle doesn't become plural. A simple point of the Arabic language, this term illa in the Arabic language, towards, is a particle, meaning towards. Particles don't take the plural, they don't become plural. So these Mu'tazila, this foolishness they're saying here. Illa, here it's a plural, and it means blessing. So it means the believers will be looking at the blessings granted by their Lord. This is foolishness, absolute foolishness. Then with regard to the next point, At-Tahawi said, continued, وَتَفْسِيرُهُ عَلَى مَا أَرَادَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَعَلِمَهُ. And its explanation is as Allah the Most High wanted and knew. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, meaning the explanation of إِلَى رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ, the ayah from Surah Al-Qiyamah, ayah 23. I mean the explanation of this ayah, looking upon their Lord. Meaning, just, its explanation is just as Allah the Mighty and Majestic wanted. And that is, that it means seeing with sight. He will be seen with sight. Its explanation is not as the innovators want. I mean, just because they want it to mean that, it's not going to mean that. And the next point, that again, these points all continue. At-Tahawi mentions, وَكُلُّ مَا جَاءَ فِي ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ الصَّحِيحِ عَنِ الرَّسُولِ صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فهو كما قال. And every authentic hadith reported from the Messenger صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, may Allah extol him and his true followers and grant him perfect peace and security, then it is just as he said. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning everything reported from the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام, affirming that Allah will be seen, the ru'ya, from that the believers will see Allah, then it is true upon its haqiqah, upon its reality, just like what occurs in the Qur'an, just the same as what occurs in the Qur'an. It is obligatory that we have iman in it, because it is the speech of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is wahi, which is revelation from Allah. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Surah An-Najm, the 53rd surah, ayahs 3 and 4. With the explanation, and he, the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does not speak from his own desires. It is just revelation inspired. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and it, meaning the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that which he said, it is called al-wahi al-thani, it is called the second revelation. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed in many ahadith, which are mutawatir, reported by huge numbers of people. He stated that the believers will see their Lord on the day of resurrection. So therefore it is obligatory to have iman in that, without tahrif, without altering the meaning, and without ta'atil, without negating, and without tamthil, without likening him to his creation, and without takif, without saying how. Then finally we'll take the point number 62, which continues, وَمَعْنَاهُ عَلَى مَا أَرَادُ, and its meaning is as he intended. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intended. I mean, the meaning is just as he intended when he said it. Not as those innovators and deviants intended. I mean, the meaning of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam statement that the believers will see their Lord, its meaning is what he stated, as he intended. They will indeed see Allah, not as the deviants try and twist it away. So then the points, onward the points continue, and we leave the rest of the points till next time, inshaAllah. I'll just bring in here, at this point, Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, he makes a fairly small point. On this point here, he said, you should know that the ahadith reported affirming the believers seeing their Lord on the day of resurrection are very many, to the extent that they reach the level of being mutawatir, as has been clearly stated by a group of the imams, from them the explainer, meaning Ibn Abul Izz, he said as well, these hadith are so many they reach the level of being mutawatir. And he mentioned some of them, and then he said, so here Shaykh al-Bani quotes Ibn Abul Izz in his larger explanation of At-Tahawi. He said, that he said, the ahadith about ar-ru'ya, about seeing Allah, are reported by around 30 companions. About 30 companions report this from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whoever acquires comprehensive knowledge of them will state with certainty that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam definitely said it. And if I had not put it upon myself to write this book in abridged form, then I would quote more of the ahadith here. Shaykh al-Bani said, and then he said. Now he refers to the hadith that we had last week, that the believers will certainly see Allah just as they see the moon. He said, the declaration that seeing Allah the Most High will be like seeing the sun and the moon is not tashbih of Allah. It's not causing Allah to resemble His creation. Rather, it is a statement that the act of seeing is like that act of seeing. Not that the one seen is like the thing which is seen. I mean, that it's a statement that the believers, just as they see the sun and the moon, then likewise they will see Allah. It doesn't mean that Allah is in any way like the sun and the moon. It doesn't mean that. Then he said, however, it does contain an evidence that Allah is above His creation. He is above, and on the day of judgment, He will be above. He will be above. Since can any seeing be comprehended without facing? I mean, the believers will see Allah from above. Allah will be above when they see Him. And as for those people who say, He will be seen, but not in a direction, then this person should look back and check his own intellect. Because either he's opposing obstinately his correct intellect, or his intellect has got something wrong with it, or otherwise, a person saying that he will be seen, but he's not. He will not be in front, he will not be behind, he will not be to the right, he will not be to the left, he will not be above, and he will not be below, then this is not correct. This cannot be correct in the intellect. Anyone who hears this, whose nature is sound, then he will reject it. This saying is false and futile. They're refusing to affirm that Allah will be seen and Allah will be above. Then Shaykh al-Albani said, I say, and as for his, he the Most High, being seen in this world, then the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said in the authentic hadith, that none of us will see him until he dies. Hadith the brother mentioned. The hadith reported by Muslim. And as for him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as for the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then there is nothing reported to affirm that he even saw his Lord. Nothing that can establish proof. Indeed, there is something authentic from him which indicates a denial of this. A denial that even the Prophet ﷺ saw Allah. Because when he was asked about this, he said, Nurun anna arahu. Light. How could I see him? I mean, when someone from the companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the night journey, when he was taken through the heavens, they asked, did you see your Lord? So he said, Nurun anna arahu. Light. How could I see him? And then Shaykh al-Bani finished by saying, and along with this, the noble lady Aisha radiallahu anha, she clearly denied this. She clearly denied that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw his Lord, as occurs in the two Sahihs. And that is the basic principle which we cling to. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification? With regard to the like of that Adam alayhi salam, did Adam alayhi salam see Allah when he was first created or the like, then without a text we don't affirm anything. We don't affirm it unless we have a text, unless we can bring an authentic hadith or bring an ayah, but we don't affirm it. We just withhold. He didn't quote the wording here. None of you will see his Lord until he dies.
secret hadith number.
No. It'll be in the book of Iman. So search there, inshallah. If that concludes the matter of al-Tahawiyyah, then just as a reminder, obviously being in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, then as we've heard, as has been announced, the day of Arafah is this Wednesday. Tomorrow being the day of Tarwiyah, the day of, first day of Mina, and the day after, the day of Wednesday, being the day of Arafah, then just as a reminder, then it's established in the Sahih of Muslim from a hadith of Abu Qatada radiallahu an, in a long hadith which contains the wording that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Siyamu yawmi arafah ahtasibu ala Allahi an yukaffira sanata allati qablahu wa sanata allati ba'dahu. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fasting on the day of Arafah, as the people of knowledge mentioned in the light of other narrations, mean fasting the day of Arafah for those who are not actually in Arafah, for the people who are not performing Hajj. That fasting the day of Arafah, I hope from Allah that He will cause it to wipe away the sins of the year which came before it and the year which comes after it. So no doubt it's from the Sunnah, it's something recommended and highly desirable that the people fast on the day, as long as they're not in Arafah, that the rest of the people fast the day of Arafah, this day of Wednesday. No, 1 year before and 1 year after. Sanatan. As-sanat al-lati qablahu wa sanat al-lati ba'dahu. As-sanah, yeah, 1 year. Yeah, 1 year before and 1 year after. And just something else, just points of reminder, that it's established as well from some of the Salaf that they would say the takbir of the Eid from the morning of the day of Arafah, from the morning of this year is the Wednesday, from the morning of Wednesday until the last of the days of Tashriq, for all the 5 days of Eid, that they would say the takbir of Eid, beginning after Fajr on the day of Arafah, continuing throughout the day of Arafah, the first day of Eid, the second day of Eid, the day of sacrifice, and all the 3 days of Tashriq, until after Asr on the third day of Tashriq, which here, Sunday. Yeah, Sunday. I mean Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. This is established from the practice of Ali, amongst others, from the practice of Ali, radiallahu an, reported by Ibn Abi Shaybah with authentic chain of narration, that he would do that. He would start the takbir of Eid on the day of Arafah after Fajr and continue it throughout all of those 5 days, that day, the next day, and then the 3 days of Tashriq until after Asr, and then he would stop before Maghrib. And likewise from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. And with regard to the days of Eid, then Abu Dawud reports a hadith, and the basis of the hadith is in Muslim, but this full wording is reported by Abu Dawud. He reports in his Sunan, in the book of fasting, chapter 49, fasting the days of Tashriq, with his chain of narration from Uqba ibn Amir, radiallahu an, who said, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, Yawmu Arafah, wa yawmu al-Nahr, wa ayyamu al-Tashriq, Eiduna ahl al-Islam. وهي أيام أكل وشرب. From Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu an, who said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the day of Arafah and the day of sacrifice and the days of Tashriq are our Eid, the people of Islam, and they are days of eating and drinking. Of the days of Tashriq being the 3 days after the day of sacrifice, 11th, 12th and 13th. Sheikh, reported by Abu Dawud, also reported by Tirmidhi and others. Sheikh Al-Albani said, Sahih, authentic. And the explainer of Tirmidhi, Al-Mubarak Fouri, in Tuhfah.